You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
My girlfriend sucked 37 dicks.
In a row?
Hey, buddy, you gonna eat that sausage?
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Tell me something, my friend.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the role?
Ladies and gentlemen!
Your complete attention, if you please.
The Epic Film Guys Podcast. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special episode of the Epic Film Guys Podcast, the After School Special Edition, where we are going to reconnect with our feelings and we're going to learn an important lesson or two along the way. I'm Nick.
And I'm Justin. We are joined this evening, ladies and gentlemen, by a very special pair. It's been a long time since we've had them on the show.
A very long time.
Yeah, Jay and Dave from Super Movie Bros. What's up, guys?
We are a long dangling pair. It's true.
It is true. Thanks for having us, guys.
Oh, gentlemen, it is wonderful to have you on the show again. It has been a very, very long time. I think we decided before recording Rogue One.
We are only just completing our contractual obligation to appear on Epic Film Guys once a year.
That is true. Once upon a time dubbed the Mexican knockoff of the Epic Film Guys podcast.
We're rising up. We're pretty much like the Canadian version now.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you two wonderful gentlemen are here tonight to talk about Shane Black's Predator, which I'm assuming is going to take up the majority of the runtime of the show. But before we get there, it's been a long time since you've been able to talk to the Epic Film Guys audience. If you had one thing you wanted to tell them all, Destruction in Human Form, Jared Taylor, all those bastards, we love you, Jared. What do you got to say to them?
Jay is speechless. He's just speechless.
Put me on the spot like that, Nick.
If I had to say one thing, it's this. Do what you love and you never work another day in your life. And that's always misquoted. And I'm misquoting it again. Done.
Really?
I have this to say. Terrible, Dave. Jay and I are going to be stars in the next 2 months because we were both actors in Creed 2. Isn't that true?
That is true.
We were both on set together.
Out there. Check
yeah,
out
yeah in too. A couple months, we might be there. The final sequence. Pretty much from the beginning of Michael B. Jordan's entrance into the final sequence of the boxing ring to the first punch is what we filmed.
Jay, on our show, I remember you saying that you would be a star fucker at some point. Would you star fuck Michael B. Jordan?
I'd watch him.
For notoriety. To grow
I'd
the show.
I'd watch him fuck. I wouldn't partake.
To grow Super Movie Brothers, would you let Michael B. Jordan plow your girlfriend?
Well, since I'm single, yeah. Because I'm single. And if I'm dating a girl, I'm like, eh.
You have no imagination.
Yeah. No.
Did you see his lats, though? I mean, I stood next to the guy, and I watched him
Justin,
get oiled up.
You had
up
a way better vantage point
than
I did.
Dude, the guy turned around, and he put his boxing gloves out at me and did, like, the boxing fist pump thingy, majig, whatever the hell you call that. And I was like...
Did he look bigger this time around than the first Creed?
I think so, because he had just come off of Black Panther, and I think
he still had a
little bit more weight on him than he did in the first one.
A little more husky, a little more girthy, yeah.
He's also fighting Ivan Drago, and we know that the way you fight someone
he's a big boy.
Is you
That's
start
a big
building
boy.
Some hurting bombs.
And he's a lot taller, too. Yeah, oh my God. This... I can't wait to see this fight. It's going to be great.
Enough about Creed 2. We got some Predator to talk about.
Dave, I don't know if this is going to be your experience for this, but it's going to ruin my experience watching Creed 2 because the whole time, all I'm going to be looking for is Justin. That's all I'm going to be trying to find. I'm like, where's Justin? Is Justin there? Can I see Justin in this shot? Where the fuck is Justin? It's going to ruin the whole movie for me.
It's not going to ruin it for me because I see Jay once a week, and that is about all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
So, that's all it takes. Yeah, it takes.
We actually recorded some of our show last night. So this is two nights in a row in the same week that I'm seeing them.
Yeah, we have to do like a 2-week sabbatical, like just like just take away God from each other and just need that departure time.
My wife almost threw him out when he walked in.
It's true.
We appreciate so much you guys being on the show. Predator's a big deal, especially for Justin. Justin definitely absolutely loves the franchise. I maybe not so much. So
that's me too. I'm a huge, I even apologize for the second one and parts of AVP. And I read so many of the Dark Horse comics. So, like, I'm a huge Yakuza fan.
I'm right there with you, Nick. Don't worry, Nick. I got your back.
About time, man. About damn time.
We also have a very special Predator prize pack for you guys.
Ooh, we do.
Which will be coming right at the end of our Predator discussion.
Yeah.
You're going to have the chance to win the Predator koozies, a tin, very fancy looking Predator popcorn pail, and digital codes, 4K digital codes. That's right, Paul, are you listening? Yeah, I know you're the only other. Yeah,
I know. You.
I know. For Predator, Predator 2 and Predators, make sure to tune in at the end of that part of the review for a chance to win.
Yeah, and speaking of Paul, he and Wayne, we are going to be joining them over on the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews next week to talk about the top 10 raunchy teen comedies of all time versus we're going to be going up against them. And they've never lost one of these versus countdowns. So
I can't see you losing, though. I can't see you losing. Literally, that's what you live for is raunchy so garbage.
So does Wayne,
Nick.
Though. Like, this is Wayne's wheelhouse, man. I don't know,
I know
how we
but as long as I've known you, man.
Porky's too. Just Porky's too. Porky's and Porky's too.
I sucked a dick last night.
See, that's what we're up against.
I think the problem is Wayne wants to live in one of those movies. That's the thing.
We just recorded a Patreon, which was our top 5 nude scenes ever. So Porky's
that's what we're up
was
against.
Discussed.
That's what we're up against. You guys understand
so
that.
So is the Dreamers.
So, that'll be next week. I'll, of course, social media and everything will be alight with the links for that. But we've got Dave and Jay here tonight. It's a wonderful honor to have you guys back on the show. We love you guys. We love the Super Movie Brothers. So before we go any further, I feel like this is important.
This is the most important thing to have them talk about while they're here. Yeah.
Because they also do craft beer reviews on their show. Because we're the only two film podcasts that do craft beer reviews, though. None of
the
other ones do it.
In the fucking world.
If they say they do, they're lying.
We're the only two. We're the
only two. Not even the craft beer review podcast, which I listen to. They don't even review craft beers.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to roll into a very, very special segment of What Are You Drinking?
I'm back! Puke and rally! Yeah. Woo! Give me a beer!
And Justin, I'm not going to pitch it to you this time because I know you got mad last week because I always make you go first. I'm not going to do that to you this week.
We have guests here. They should be going first.
We have
first.
Guests. That's true. I want to start with Jay because Dave's been on the show more often than Jay has. Jay, we've only ever had on the show once before. So I want to start with Jay. Jay?
I know. I'm sad. I'm really excited to be on the show finally. Thank you.
What do you have draining into your dick liquor this evening?
Well, I have a local brewery.
An apt description of his mouth, sir.
Well, yeah. Only Nick would know.
How did that Michael B. Dick taste? I just want to know.
Shut the fuck up, Dave. River Horse Brewing Company is out of Ewing, New Jersey. This is their Juiced IPA. It's a hazy New England style juice bomb, as they like to call it. India Pale Ale. It is pretty strong at 8.5 alcohol by volume. This one is exactly what it says. I mean, it's a great little hop front and then a juicy middle with just a straight up clean finish. It's a solid beer all around. It kind of hides the strength of the beer, but it is a very drinkable beer, and I'm really just digging it.
Disappointed how you're overselling something that comes from Jersey. Just saying.
Shut the fuck up. You know you love it.
I don't. I actually don't like it. No, I drank a little bit of it. I am not a fan of it, to be honest with you.
Damn, I would still give this a 4 out of 5 for me. I mean, this is great.
The juice bomb in the middle is pretty good, but
I can feel
the finish is
boner,
pretty awful.
His beer boner right now when he hears juice bomb, I can feel it.
It's all right. I know that I live in the central area of the juice bomb.
Yeah, there's no way you guys would get this beer, unfortunately. They're very, very local.
That sounds really, really good, actually. And I know, like I said, I can feel Justin's juice boner popping through his jeans, but we're going to kick it over to Dave right now. Dave?
Yeah, man. So I knew I was going to be doing this. So I actually picked one of my favorite beers that has come out this year. And it is the Victory Homegrown Lager. It's a dry hopped lager, 4.8% by volume, and it is fucking amazing. So it has that great crisp like lager feel to it with a nice dry hop aroma and taste up front. It finishes crisp, clean, like a fucking Sprite. It's just, it's so refreshing, and there's nothing I could like think a more.
Sprite. Crisp, clean, no caffeine.
Oh my God.
Dude, I love this.
Grant it's, Hill drinks Sprite. Grant Hill drinks Sprite.
And I mean, nothing's better than a victory beer from Philadelphia, as we've been talking about Creed 2 for like a half hour when we're supposed to be talking about the Predator, drinking victory beers from Philadelphia. It's just made to be. No, it's just a fantastic beer. It's one of my favorite beers that they've ever done. It's one of my favorite beers that has come out this year. And I'm just loving every time I get it. It's a nice go-to. There's nothing to like really write home about and say like it's amazing, but it's just a good beer.
It's a solid drinker.
Around. Yeah. Yeah, it's so solid.
That's awesome. Justin, I'm making you do first again. I'm going to pitch it over to you. What do you have chugging into your cock funnel this evening?
Well, I wish I wrote this description, but I did not. But it perfectly just describes this beautiful beverage that I'm sucking down my sweat hole right now. An imperial stout brewed with pumpkins. This beer is brewed to enchant my palate. Also, to counterpoint their other amazing beer, the Pum King, make your own black magic by carefully pouring this imperial stout into a goblet. Dark and mysterious, the Blackwater series is serious about high gravity. Reanimate your senses with Warlock's huge roasted malt character.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I drink one of these a year. It is the Southern Tier Brewing Company's Warlock. That's nice. Right. It's a pumpkin imperial stout. And I like this one. You know, Nick, you can give me all the shit you want for pump.
Getting into Halloween season early.
For pump king. Dude, Halloween's my life. I start celebrating Halloween at the end of July. So
I said it last week on the show. His horror boner lasts from Labor Day to Christmas.
It's 8.6 alcohol by volume and 40 IBUs. And like I said, I drink one of these per year. It'll be a one and done for me. Yes.
To its credit. Yes. Warlock is better than Pum King, not Pump, Pump King.
Get it right, Nick. It's fucking Pump King. All Pump right. King. On this show, we call it Pump King. All right.
On this show, you're the goddamn Pump King.
See, last year I was literally on such a high from all the great New Englands I was getting my hands on down here that I only drank one Pump King, and that was the only pumpkin beer that I had the whole season. But this year I've already drank like 20 pumpkin beers, and the fucks I give are zero. Oh, I like shit. This beer. It's a one and done for me, but I enjoy it. Nick, I'm sure you have something fancy in your hand there. What do you got guzzling down your gullet this evening?
I was at the store and I called a very, very good friend of the show, Tom Coe from Jake and Tom Conquer the World, because he lives out in Michigan where Founders is, and I saw a beer and I wanted his opinion. I was like, should I get this beer? And he texted me back. He's like, if you see this, get this instead. This is the instead. This is the Founders Curmudgeon's Better Half. So this is an old ale with molasses and aged in maple syrup bourbon barrels, a whopping 12.7% alcohol by volume. The 50 minutes late we are in recording is directly correlated to how tipsy I am right now from drinking this beer. It is, in a word, incredible. It's so drinkable. It's so smooth. It is deceptively delicious, especially with how boozy it is. You get the molasses in there, you get the maple syrup, and you get that oaky kind of bourbon flavor in there. Everything about this beer is legitimate perfection. I could drink just four of these and probably die of alcohol poisoning, and I would die happy. It's that good. It's amazing. Find this beer. No matter where you are, find this beer. I promise.
I got the idea. Love it. Get your ass back to where you bought it. Buy me one and ship it to me this week. That's what I say to you.
They said they're having it at Wegmans.
Buy
right
it
now.
For me. Buy it for me.
I will not tell you what I spent on a four pack of this beer. That notwithstanding. So yeah, it's really, 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 really amazing. So what I want to do is we've got a lot to talk about with this Predator movie, and we've got so much other kind of stuff to pack into the show tonight. So I want to kind of open the floodgates a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about Predator, and then we're going to take a break. We're going to get into EFG history, and then we're going to get into the meat of the film. So for the first, say, 10 minutes or so when we're discussing the film here early on, we're not going to spoil anything. We're just going to kind of give our initial thoughts of the film. And I want to pitch it over to our guests, the Super Movie Brothers podcast. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being on the show. We really, really do appreciate it. But let's open the floodgates here. Number one, I want to know where you are in terms of Predator. Like, are you a Predator fan? Are you not a Predator fan? And your initial thoughts, how you felt about the Predator.
A new Predator movie, Jay.
That's all you needed.
Your initial thoughts. We need to hear it from you, who supposedly you're the biggest Predator fan on the entire planet. You have a full Jay Predator outfit. You wear to the bar. You wear the helmet and everything.
He's the Predator defector.
Okay. So, obviously, Dave and I are pretty fans of Shane Black. He's done a lot of fun movies that we both adore. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
The Nice Guys.
And such. So this movie, obviously,
you already did it wrong. You mentioned Shane Black and you didn't bring in Lethal Weapon, so you're already doing it wrong.
That was 30 years ago.
I would also say that you might be doing it wrong, because
Nick, was Lethal Weapon look, 30 years ago for me look, and you?
He's done 30 years of drugs since fucking since the Predator.
30 years okay? of drugs.
He's a new man, all right? He's in different era, whole different mindset, okay? So anyway, the Predator started off right off the bat, boom, locked on, bad CGI, right? All right off the bat, I was like, shit, no, this is not happening right now. Seriously, bad CGI, fuck me, this is happening. Okay, and then all of a sudden, it just became like this weird kind of movie that I didn't know what was going on. And then it turned into a weird little thing where a group of guys got together, and then there was funny little zingers. And then all of a sudden it turned into a fun little comedic little action movie that had a shit ton of gory R-rated fun action sequences.
Are you done?
Together.
Are you done? Jay, play
not
the cricket.
And then
Nick, play crickets.
No, let him go. Let him go. I get way worse than this on our own show, so let him go. Let him go.
All right.
Play him off, Sam. Play him off.
Thank you.
Jay is terrible at condensing his thoughts in so many ways. So bad.
Yes.
Oh, shit. So
the fun thing about it will be thanks during editing, I'll just cut out everything Jay said, and it'll just be the crickets.
Oh, man. All right.
Oh, my God.
Shit. So for me... The Predator starts off...
Top that, bitch.
The Predator does start off questionably in the first 30 seconds, but after about 30 minutes, once we get introduced to this fun cast of characters that is really fun throughout this completely sci-fi journey of destruction and mayhem, it's not too bad. It's just too bad that the story that they created doesn't live up to the characters that they introduced to us on that bus. And all the characters that are on that bus kind of come from like this type of like one flew over the cuckoo's nest type of like mentality of soldiers. And that is the part of it that I really loved. But ultimately, the Predator winds up shining in dialogue and fun characters, but falls apart in its story and its pacing. The CGI of the Predator looks fair at best and awful a lot of the time. But when the Predator's done in practical effects, it looks fantastic. There's going to be times where you will laugh your ass off at this movie. You're going to laugh your ass off through the dialogue, some of the utter ridiculousness of the action. You may even enjoy some of the action scenes. However, you are definitely going to question Olivia Munn's character's proficiency with firearms and melee combat. And the ending will 100% leave you completely gobsmacked and annoyed.
This is truth. Thank you, Dave, for that.
Man, Justin, I know you're itching. I know you're itching because this is your baby. This is your baby. But do you want me to go, or do you want to do your thing first?
I mean, this is totally up to you, because I don't think you have any idea about how I feel about the Predator. So
I don't generally. You know what?
How long are you going to take? How long is the Knicks rants theme going to go for? Because I need to know.
It's not.
Justin, I mean, I got your back because, like, Predator is in my top five 80s films. So,
God damn it. Like,
how dare
I love
you.
The Predator.
Ironic using Paul of all things for that sound job.
Nick, go ahead. You know what? Here's your space, man. You have the dance
floor, my
friend.
I agree. I agree when Jay says, once you get introduced to the cast of characters on the bus, like, I really feel like, and honestly, I think Shane Black does a smart thing here with the script, and all these soldiers, all these characters are characters with mental illness. And I think he kind of turns them all into heroes. And I really, really appreciate that. I think that there's a lot of really good things in the script here. Predator, I have never, ever, ever made any bones about the fact that I hate the character design. I hate the creature design. That said, like, this super predator thing that comes, I think it's better looking. I think I like it more than I like the regular old Predator. But I do agree with Dave. I think the script has massive issues in this film. And
oh, it does.
I think it's about, can you forgive those issues enough to just have a great time with the film? Because I had a good time with this film at times, but I think that there's other times when this film, here's the thing, this almost feels like two different movies to me that are smashed together. It feels like you took a serious sci-fi ish like B movie Predator kind of thing, and then you shoved it together with this action comedy. And sometimes those two components don't really gel together all that well for me. And there, I think, is kind of the distinction. I think the characters are really, really great. I think the characters are what make this film succeed. Excluding True. The Predator. I just don't care about the Predator. And I don't think that's because of the creature or any of my preconceived whatever baggage I'm carrying into it. I just don't think that Black script.
Don't forget Fred Deckard. You keep saying Black script. It's Fred Decker, okay?
And Fred Decker, yep.
Yeah, we're going to get into that, the fact that this was written by two people, and that might be where you're getting your duality from.
It's possible.
And I'm right there with you, Nick. I really am.
So I want to get over to Justin. We'll get over to Justin for initial thoughts before we take our break, because this is, like I said, nobody has been looking forward to this movie more than Justin, because he loves his Predator. He and Loisance just did that whole huge B-side on the whole franchise. Justin, let us have it, baby. Where you at?
I have to make this statement public. I had more fun sitting down and watching The Predator on the big screen with a huge audience than I've had watching any other Predator-related film since I sat down and watched the original as a kid. The crowd was fucking going wild. And every single joke, every single time you saw someone get beheaded or blood splatter all over the place, this movie is not meant to be taken seriously. And that's the first thing that I want to throw out there. They decided they wanted to make a certain type of film, a throwback to old 80s B movies that didn't give a fuck. And that's what they made. Now, obviously, there are issues with the script. There are plot holes to be had. But guess what? Canon films that came out in the 80s didn't give a fuck about those problems. And this film doesn't either. And that's why I liken this to, if canon ever had the amount of time and effort and budget to make a Predator movie in the 80s.
Budget's the key word there.
Might be what they, well, of course, because this was $88 million. This is still nothing to sneeze at, ladies and gentlemen. It's still a decent budget. And I think that, you know, not to argue too much with you guys, for that kind of budget, the CGI was fucking fine. I had an absolute blast with this movie. I just got done rewatching the entire series in preparation for our B-side to review Predator, Predators, and Predator 2. And I had watching this, you know, than I can't even explain to you. This script's all Fred Decker, except for a lot of the dialogue. It feels like a Fred Decker movie. I love Monster Squad. Night of the Creeps is one of my favorite 80s movies of all time.
Return of the Living Dead is one of my favorite 80s movies. Like,
this feels like, to me, that kind of movie and that kind of mentality thrown into a Predator movie. We've already seen guys in the jungle. Predator attacks them, hunts them, fine. We've already seen a movie. Guy in the city, post-apocalyptic LA, getting chased around by a predator. Okay. We've seen two movies where Predator fights Xenomorph. Fine, okay. It's fine that this movie's different. And fans that are complaining that this isn't like living up to the original, dude, go back and rewatch all the other sequels and pick them apart if you want to. I find great things about all of them, minus the AVP movies.
But that's okay, right? Because this was almost a reboot anyway. So the fact that it doesn't live up to the other ones shouldn't be a big problem for people.
I don't care about that anymore. Literally, like, you shouldn't. That's, for me at least, it's not saying that. This is not like the new Halloween where they're saying this is a direct sequel to the original and putting so much hype behind that. They're just saying we're making another Predator movie. And that's it. And I feel the expectation is you're going in to watch another Predator movie, and most people going to see this movie have already seen all the sequels. So for me, at least, my initial thoughts are I had a fucking blast with this movie.
Wow. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to leave it there. We're going to leave you hanging as we jump over. That is creepy as fuck. Welcome, Dave's soundboard. We are going to go ahead and jump over into a quick break for some EFG history. Ladies and gentlemen, when we return, we're going to get deep, spoiler-filled. We're going to talk about every little nuance of this movie until you just want to vomit Predator neon blood everywhere.
This week in epic film history!
Cursed scumbag. Your new friends, the Cannibals.
What are you doing down there, Judge Hershey?
Waiting for backup.
It's here. I'm drop you woman.
And the first degree murder of a street judge. Let me guess. Life. Death.
This is what's going to go on in episode 9, all right? It's going to open with a rescue mission on Jakku. It has to be, you know, the stand-in Tatooine instead of the real Tatooine. And then, you know, we're going to get the Starkiller base 2.0, which is slightly bigger but only half built, so it's, I don't know, a half a planet, I guess. And at the end, Luke is going to turn Kylo back to the light side, and Kylo's going to pick up Snoke and throw him into some big fucking hole somewhere. And there'll be these stupid, shitty, little asshole, piece of shit, fucking garbage teddy bears in it dancing around all the whole time just because it needs that. I'm sorry, I have no faith in J.J. Abrams after the shit show that he gave us with The Force Awakens.
We no longer need to call Loy Sauce, Mr. Brian Loy, a contributor to the Epic Film Guys podcast, because he is now officially an Epic Film Guy. That's indeed right, ladies and gentlemen. He does enough for the show. I see enough movies with him, and we talk so much. We're all collectively on the same page as far as films are concerned. It makes so much sense to just add him to the roster, and we're very glad to have him. So there it is to you, Brian. This is the official announcement. You are now an Epic Film Guy. So
he's
now
only going to get that smattering of applause sound effect, though.
Oh, no, come on, no.
5, 4, 3, 2... Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of this here cast of pod called The Guys of Film Epic.
Fail something?
Oh, shit. I have a soundboard for this stuff. I don't need to do it with my mouth. What's up, everybody? I'm Nick.
Use it. And I'm Justin. And yeah, man, if you're going to have the soundboard, you might as well use it to its full extent.
I sucked a dick last night.
There we go.
Except for that one. That never happened. I never said that. That's not me. You must have gotten director Brennick to do that to sound like me or something. I don't know.
Probably did. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate it. He's been working on that Justin impression for like months. And this is a brown ale, so basically it's got a lot of notes of toasted nuts and everything like that in there. It's kind of one of those
toasted nuts. What?
I feel like we need to make that the new mouthfeel. Toasted nuts.
Toasted nuts.
I don't think anyone pays attention to me or what I do.
Somebody pays attention because somebody's listening to this shit, and it's not fucking me.
Yeah, me either.
I just pointed at myself to like emphasize that point. Audio people, I'm pointing right now. Can you hear it? That's the sound of me pointing.
That's the sound of him pointing at himself. That's the sound of a point.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I have a couple quarters?
And they said, I'm no ma'am, I'm a man. And I said, well, I can't tell. You look beautiful in that dress. And then they punched me in the eye. I swear I still can't see that well out of it right now because of it.
Check out all sorts of great moments in the show's history by searching for the hashtag EFGHistory on Facebook and Twitter. And now, back to the show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and it's time again, Dave, Jay, the Super Movie Brothers are here. You got to get excited. You've got to be excited that the Super Movie Brothers are in the house, and we are talking Shane Black's Predator. So much to unpack in this film, and I feel like there's a lot of different elements, and I want to throw it back to Justin first because I know that there's so much more that he wanted to say before we cut to a break there. So Justin, let's start ripping into the meat of this thing. Let's dig those giant gnarled predator teeth in here and let's let that gory blood.
Are you talking about his pussy mouth?
Everywhere.
The predator pussy mouth? Pussy
predator
mouth?
Pussy mouth, yep.
Yeah. The one thing I want to make clear the most to me is that for me, at least personally, this feels kind of like a hodgepodge of half of a Shane Black movie and half of a Fred Decker movie. It doesn't feel like a cohesive, like it's not one singular vision. And obviously we know, ladies and gentlemen, that this movie did test poorly in test screenings and they did go back and they reshot a whole bunch of shit. And supposedly, based on the information I've heard, correct me if I'm wrong, industry insiders, they went in and added a ton more gore, which thank you very much because I loved every single fucking bit of it.
Yeah, I would applaud the shit out of that.
But actually, you know what? You threw it right to me, but in between our discussion there, while we took a break, me and Dave were actually having a really good discussion there, and he had some really good points about what he felt was the core of what made this movie work versus what the story is and the problems that it had. Dave, what did you want to flesh out about it?
Well, I mean, I want to reiterate, you're right. This is the combination of a Decker strip and a Black script where I feel like, you know, Shane Black did a lot of the dialogue work in this where the story came from Fred Decker.
Humor-wise, yeah.
I had a little bit of an issue with a lot of the story being of circumstance. And then I had a real big issue with the last probably 30 minutes of the film with the final act. But ultimately, like, I agree with Justin. I had a great fucking time with this film. Me and Jay saw it together. There was really nary a time where I wasn't, like, kind of laughing with it, having fun with it. And then it was only several major times that I really rolled my eyes and went, Jesus, God, why? Why that? Why that?
I feel like we need to flesh out one of the biggest problems with the story and the working script that they had, which is a very talented young man who was in a movie that a few years ago got a lot of attention called Room. Jacob Tremblay playing Rory McKenna, who is the son of Quinn McKenna, who is basically our main good guy / crazy PTSD soldier who the film opens on, and he's out on a mission and the Predator basically fucks up that mission and gets in his way, and he's basically thrust into this situation by the Predator
and
landing on
Earth.
But
it would have made so much more sense to me, especially story-wise, if instead of the happenstance of the Predator ship crashing while he's on his mission, if Sterling K. Brown's character sent him on that mission purposefully to encounter the Predator so that he could learn more from it.
I don't want to jump all over the place, but I got to tell you this much. Sterling K. Brown in this movie made the fucking movie for me. Every single time he said, fuck,
yes,
I laughed.
You loved it, right?
God damn it, did I love it. He literally said
that. When I came home, me and my wife are huge This Is Us fans. And I said,
well, that and he was great in American Crime Story, the O.J. Simpson trials.
He called a kid a motherfucker to his face.
Dude, exactly. Oh, my God. I literally was like, he's so good.
They so played on that as well, because I'm also a huge, huge, huge fan of This Is Us. And when you talk about his character, Randall, in that show versus his character in The Predator, It's night and day.
Oh my God. I love that he's chewing gum the entire time because there's nothing more.
Nicorette gum too.
Yeah. There's nothing more of an asshole than a guy who's smacking his lips, chewing gum open mouth as he's talking. And I was
go out of their way to let you know that he's chewing Nicorette too.
I just love, I love so much that Sterling K. Brown is that kind of actor that he can transform himself and that he can throw himself whole hog into a role and deliver time and time again. We've seen it again with This Is Us. Justin saw that, you know, American Crime Story with O.J. Simpson, and now again here in The Predator.
He's fantastic in that.
Just one of the most fantastic talents working today.
But I do want to mention this, though, and get back to the original point I had with Jacob Tremblay, because I think the original idea is to have this kid be more of a focal point than he is, because he shows up later in the film than I felt like he should, and then he's kind of not there, then he's there again, then he's not there.
Can I get into something that me and Jay have a huge problem with as both people who either have worked in the mental health industry or still work in the mental health industry and hate the fact that The Good Doctor is something that's on TV? Asperger's and autism and all that stuff on the spectrum, it's not a superpower. It's not. It doesn't work the way they portray it in a movie. So when you work in that industry and you see it portrayed in that way, it kind of grates you and the wrong way, and it bothers you a little bit.
Right. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, like, yeah, you can be hopeful and you'd like it to be that way, right?
Exactly.
I mean, you see that aspect where
we
sometimes
all want a
they
Bobby
do
Fischer,
have that kind of
right?
thing.
Like,
are some kids that have Asperger's syndrome that have that kind of brilliance to weird effects for certain aspects of things. However,
but that's the
all,
one.
That's this.
That's the 1% of the syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the 1% of the
exactly.
syndrome.
Exactly. So it's not the grandiose effect that Hollywood likes to portray.
Always have a problem with that. Just first and foremost,
right?
I hate that in a script.
And they do it in this movie. Exactly.
They do. They do.
And there's nothing wrong with Jacob Tremblay's performance. I mean, he did all he can do. I mean, it is what it is.
No, I bought him as a kid with Asperger's. Like I bought.
No,
him.
I did too. I mean, it was fine. It was fine. Surprised to see how much of his role came into the play with the whole narrative structure of the movie, and then going in towards like potential quote unquote sequels.
Maybe
we'll get into that later.
2 or 3 weeks, we'll tell whether this.
We'll say
whether this gets a sequel.
I think overall, though, we have to give major props to the cast in this, because I think it's got a great cast, because there's no huge stars in this thing. And I'm going to say this right
that's
up front,
100%
so we can get this out of the fucking way. Thank God Arnold did not agree to a cameo in this. Shane Black did come to him on 3 different occasions and have meetings with him, and they wanted Dutch to show up in this, and they do reference. And I love the fact that they reference the incidents in the first 2 Predator films. Dave, correct me if I'm wrong. Don't they like kind of hint at the situations in the AVP movies a little bit, or was I not right there?
No, they don't really hint at it, but what they do hint at is the situation that happened in a comic book, which was a continuation of Danny Glover's character. So they do hint at like what happened in South America with Lieutenant Harrigan, which is a Dark Horse comic where he goes to, I believe it's Rio, and encounters another Predator there long after his retirement. He's way too old for that shit at that point, and he has to deal with another one. So they do kind of hint at that, and they definitely heavily hint at the 1997 incident, because we get Jake Busey in this movie, who is 100% playing the son of his father.
But so wasted. Oh my God, he's so wasted in this.
Oh my God.
He's so great in this one. As soon as he shows up, my big smile on my face, and like 5 minutes later, I'm like, are you serious?
Yes. And as soon, the second he said he was Keys, I like nudged Jay, because I know Jay hasn't seen Predator 2 in at least 15 years, if he's seen it at all. And I was like, Jake Busey is playing the son of his own father.
Which is crazy, because they said in the beginning that he wasn't.
Yeah, no, but he introduced himself as Keys, so.
That's what doesn't make any sense about this movie.
You know what, Jay? Not much has to make sense about this movie. You know what? It's called The Predator. It's about an alien that comes down from space and fights another alien, and then a bunch of ragtag military guys with mental issues have to try to fight it and live their lives. And for me, that's enough. Like, I don't really, if it's the sixth movie, right? Sixth movie?
In the series? If you count the AVPs, yeah.
You have to. You technically have to because it has the name Predator in the title.
Well, yeah, and those are more Predator films than they are Alien films at this point because of...
They definitely are.
Because of where they've gone with the Alien franchise, so...
Nick, you've been quite mum here. Come on, man. You're the Predator hater. I got to know more of... You watched this movie in the theater, dude. Come on, let's hear it.
I did. And I mean, like I said, to talk about a little bit more about the cast... Sterling K. Brown, again, I'm a huge, huge fan of his, so I loved him in the film. Jacob Tremblay, also love him. And like I said, I love that the film kind of makes heroes out of each of these different, you know, quirky characters on the bus. They're a little bit stereotypical, let's be fair, but I love that it makes heroes out of all these characters who are definitely suffering from mental illness. You know, it seeks to almost maybe normalize that.
That's why I said it was a cuckoo's nest. Like,
except Alfie Allen.
Oh, well, yeah. Alfie Allen didn't do shit.
I think out of the whole group, he was the most underutilized.
Theon Greyjoy was just as castrated in this film as he is in Game of Thrones. but no, that's what I was, when I was watching them on the bus interacting together and I was getting into all of their diagnosis that they were talking about, I was like, this is the Cuckoo's Nest characters.
Yeah.
Like, this is the military version of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And unfortunately, McKenna is McKenna is the Jack Nicholson of this film. He's the one that's holding them all together. He's the one that comes in to be the leader.
He's not necessarily Nicholson.
Well, he wasn't so, you know,
He wasn't the worst.
Well,
thing
sir,
in the world,
she's not 15 when you're staring at that pink little beaver, is she?
I think I'll say this about the film. Like, I don't have a ton to say about this film, but I know there's a lot of mythos kind of related stuff that Justin will dive a lot deeper into. But I like the characters in this film. I think the characters in this film are really engaging, and they really help to turn this into a film that you could otherwise write off and just dismiss and be like, oh, this is just a dumb sci-fi piece of shit. The characters, excuse me, really help to engage you in this story.
I know you don't like the design of the Predator.
I hate the character design of the Predator.
I know that you said that you don't like how it looks, but you said that you liked how the bigger Predator looks. Tell me this much, though. The scenes with the physical guy in the suit, the practical suit, did that not look good to you? Did that not look impressive to you?
That
looked
great.
When he's there, like, taking dudes out, the actual physical stunts that he's doing, throwing dudes around with wires
and stuff? From an effects standpoint, because it's practical, it looks great on screen, like in terms of watching it in motion and things like that. You're not watching something that's not real. You're watching something that was a practical effect on set.
There was no mud in that scene. I mean,
I was waiting for mud to show up in the movie.
To see Stan Winston's design, like, live up in practical effects today, I was so happy to see that. And I was happy to see the mandibles get used.
A lot, in, like, dude. They moved around a lot, way. Man. They moved around a lot, yeah,
he takes
sure.
a chunk out of a guy's arms with his mandibles.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He uses his mandibles as a weapon. And
several,
like,
times in the film, yeah.
That scene especially is one of my favorites, is when they've got the Predator on the table, they're examining him, and shit hits the fan, and he gets loose, and he just literally fucking takes out like 20 dudes. And it's the most bloody fun fiasco seen in the
Dude,
theater.
I loved
all year.
That scene.
Slicing throats, heads getting chucked off, and biting. Like, that to me.
What was cool about that was that we were seeing a Predator operate without his arsenal. He didn't have the helmet. He didn't have the shoulder-mounted gun. He didn't have a glaive that he was throwing. He had nothing. He was literally walking around killing people with just his body. He used his claws.
He was defending
himself.
He
used his mandibles.
That's literally what he was doing the whole time.
But what I hated was the fact that they were in that fucking environment and they weren't prepared to defend themselves from the Predator.
That's the whole point of a shady government organization and
it's
the fact that they feel they're untouchable, Jack.
And God damn it, Dave.
But they had guns, though. Jay, they had guns.
I got to cut in on that because this is where the disconnect happens for me. Because, again, I love the characters in this film, and I agree with Justin. Like, the gore, especially, like, the B-movie, like gore splatter effects were great. Like,
which was fun. It was
there's
great.
A shot of the one of the super Predator, like, up in a tree in the fucking film, chewing on a dude, and the blood's just spilling down. It's fucking great. I love that kind of shit. But the problem with this film, to go back to what we were saying in the first segment about this, is the film's script, because we find out at the end of the film that the first Predator, the Predator that they've got in that lab, is only on Earth to deliver some Predator weapon to fight off other Predators. Like, he's not there for malevolent purposes. So why right. the fuck is this Predator? And I mean, it does it 100%. It does it because it's a Predator movie and because that's what fans expect. That's what people want to see out of a Predator movie. But the whole reason that Predator's on Earth is not to kill humans, is not to fucking fuck people up. It's to deliver a weapon to defend them against these super Predator motherfuckers that are adapting their DNA and shit.
You see him hesitate at numerous yeah. occasions. You see him hesitate.
I mean, do you expect him not to defend himself when he has to?
I mean, I don't expect him not to defend himself, but like I said, that's the kind of shit, script-wise, that starts to let this film down in the end. Because, I mean, again, you're caught in the crossroads there of where you're expected to deliver that Predator film that's supposed to have that kind of B-movie monster attack kind of stuff. And all that stuff looks great. It's great stuff to see visually. But logistically, it doesn't make any sense with what they give us in the 11th hour at the end of the film. For me, that was a huge disconnect.
But Nick,
here.
What's more B movie than throwing logic aside and just going for
exactly.
what is cool?
Yes.
Very fair.
Yes.
Dude. Very fair.
That's exactly my point here. And I get what you're saying, Nick, but there are moments where that Predator you're talking about, he actually looks at the group and he questions things and he doesn't actually attack when he actually does have his weapons back. And I got to reference this immediately. Shane Black allowed one of his movies, finally, to not take place during Christmas. He let Fred Dekker have his way, and it took place during Halloween, and it gave me one of my favorite fucking scenes of any movie ever. So it's when Rory goes trick-or-treating. He's wearing the Predator helmet as he's trick-or-treating. He's already being bullied in the beginning of the movie. You see the bullies out there again. He knocks on the door at some, like, he's a metalhead, dude. He's, like, blasting metal out of his house, and he yells shit at him, and he throws something at him. And then the fucking Predator weaponry blows the dude the fuck away, and you see blood splattering everywhere, and the dude getting exploded in
the
thin air.
House explodes.
And I was like, this is the best thing I've seen in a movie all fucking year. Immediately
and the best
a
part
good
is-
rating.
Is they call that back later when Sterling K. Brown's like, you know, how does the helmet gun work? And he's like, oh, it just defends you.
Exactly.
Regardless. Like, yeah. It just, anything that attacks you, it they use it again, which is perfect setup.
When was the last
time
when you saw a movie right. that was as politically incorrect as this? You see that? You see adults smoking cigarettes through the whole fucking movie and right next to children. It's constant cigarette smoking through a lot of the other characters. It's like...
Yeah, it's not politically correct whatsoever.
The lack of PC really brings you back to the 80s.
Exactly. No, 100%, Dave. That's exactly why, for me, this movie... stood out. Like, I again, I know a lot of people are turned off by it because of that and because of the obvious issues the film has, but the crowd that I saw it with, I haven't seen that much energy since I saw the first Deadpool movie in theaters.
The main question is kind of what Justin keeps coming back to again and again as he talks about this film is, did you have fun? And I think when you sit down in the theater, I think what Black and Decker really said to this film here is I think they set out to make sure that the audience has a lot of fun. And I had a lot of fun with this movie. I really enjoyed it. Reservations aside, the third act of this film is fucking abysmal. It's all
it's
over
garbage.
The fucking place.
And if you want to count the final scene as like the bookend, the epilogue,
yeah,
is the worst. It's the worst bit of this film.
There's so many things in the third act of this film that they try to do to resolve the script issues that they had already developed in the first two acts. It doesn't work. They kill off a lot of the characters that we've come to love. And you know, some of those deaths are like, God, come on, man. And then other
the
ones
only
are like,
deaths I yeah. honestly enjoyed were Thomas Jane's and Keegan-Michael Key's. Like yep. I liked their death. And then everyone else went out so unceremoniously, including Nebraska,
sure.
who is someone who I literally fell in love with.
Dude, it's Trevante Rhodes, man. Come on, from Moonlight. An amazing actor. An amazing actor.
I want to talk about this. The ship. There's a scene in the film, late in the film, when they're standing on the fucking ship as it's flying around and trying to, like, the Super Predator is trying to leave the atmosphere.
Oh, right.
I was, like, literally, I was on board with the film up to that point. I was riding, like, I was like, this film's got issues, but I'm on board. I'm having fun. This is great. The scene on the ship where they're legitimately just standing there. standing there.
There's no way possible
metal.
That you can do that.
The fact that this movie...
I hear you.
The fact that the third act became Lilo and Stitch, if you've ever seen Lilo and Stitch, yeah. is what bothered me.
It just evolved into ridiculousness. Like, even beyond that bad B-movie cheese that you would love so much, like, it just became logistical garbage.
I mean, I felt it was their attempt to subvert that because, like, you're expecting the big final showdown between our hero, McKenna, and the predator for this story, the super predator. Like, you're expecting that final showdown, and it never comes. It just doesn't come. There's no final showdown between them that really feels like a payoff.
There was a moment in this film when I cringed, and I know it was a tongue-in-cheek throwback, but when they saw the motorcycles and the dude was like, get to the choppers, I was so fucking mad because it was so forced. It was so goddamn forced.
That was one of those eye roll moments for me where I laughed at the film and not at
what was happening on screen. Like, right.
You know, here's the thing. If they had gotten Arnold to do the film, it would probably would have been him standing there in a small cameo just to say that line. So I'm so thankful Arnold stuck
Wouldn't
to his guns and said no.
Wouldn't it have been great if Arnold played a biker that they came in and beat up just like it was T2 and took his chopper?
They took his sunglasses.
No. Arnold only deserved a really good role in this movie.
I'm being slightly sardonic with that.
I know. But even so, I still can't see anywhere where he would have fit into this movie with any of the characters that were created.
So, like,
for this
that's the thing. Like, so let's at the end. Like, I was sitting there and I was like, is Dutch in the pod? And I was like, wait, why the fuck would Dutch be in that pod? What can he do to save humanity? Like, how does adding Arnold to anything save the world? And then I was like, because it's Arnold. That's why it saves the world.
Well, there was that whole rumor where they supposedly the rumor was, is that the Predators were using Dutch's DNA in order to make themselves stronger because they knew he was a stronger human Predator based on their experience.
Well,
with him.
I mean, Dutch did run... what was it? 700 meters to get away from the nuclear blast in the first one in less than 30 seconds, which is a feat that no Olympian has ever completed.
Of course not.
Because they say in Predator 2 that it leveled 35 city blocks or something like that, which would have been almost like 70 meters, which is crazy.
But come on, he's Arnold. He's 7-time Mr. Olympia. You can't beat him.
Hey,
he's the winner. He's the champion forever.
Stay cool.
I'm telling you, when I shook that man's hand, he still, at his age, he crushed my fucking wrist. So, just telling you.
I enjoyed myself with this movie more than I expected to, especially since I heard a lot of disappointment with the movie and also mixed reviews. I did think there was a mixed up screenplay involved with the story and then also with the dialogue, obviously with this Shane Black screenplay. But the fucking actors delivered. I mean, they delivered the lines correctly and the comedy punched pretty well, and also the gore and the action, I thought, worked pretty fucking well. So I had a good time with it, surprisingly, even though it is not a great movie. The CGI is not good. And overall, I gave it on our podcast the C+. I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10, I think.
Over to Dave. You seem to be much more in lockstep with Justin on this one. You seemed like you enjoyed it a lot more than Jay did.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like, for me, if you went into this expecting a Predator movie and getting Predator 1 again with new characters and stuff like that, you were going to be disappointed. If you went into this and just really wanting to have fun with it and a fan of the franchise and just... I don't want to say shut your brain off. I know Justin hates that, but you just really just want to take this ride. Take this fucking ride, because there's so much fun to be had in it. There are some great effects. There are some great action sequences. There is some great acting. There is some great script writing through the dialogue. There is a little bit weak of a tether to tie that all together with its story. But ultimately, I think it's a good time. And right along with Jay, I'm giving this a 7 out of 10. I mean, I had a lot of fun. I'll be honest, I'm probably buying this on Blu-ray. It's probably going to get added to my Alien Predator
yes.
collection.
Yes.
And
yes.
I enjoyed it. When I really just get down to it, I like the Predator. I like this creature design. I like seeing it again. I like seeing these characters going up against it. Yeah, it falls apart in the third act for me. It's Predator Iron Man.
Yeah, no, the ending is literally the worst thing that I saw.
It's Predator Iron Man. If they had just cut that out, if they went to black and not showed us what was in that pod, I would have been more satisfied than showing me what's in that pod.
God damn right.
If you have this kind of fucking technology, and if you're like, why do you not just walk around in this giant armored Predator right. suit the
why
whole
didn't
fucking
the original
time?
Predator put that on to survive?
Motherfucker, like, are you serious?
Like, I thought the same thing.
It's so it's so ridiculous, and that for me is what really drags this thing a little bit further down than it probably should. But I think overall, if you're looking for fun, splattery, gore, horror, nasty, bloody, shitty effects, I love the scene when the fucking super predator rips the fucking predator's head off and rips his fucking spine out. I love it.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
That's a great fucking scene. Oh my God.
I love the characters in this film.
He punches his face
all
into like paste. Like just green paste on top of that car. I loved it.
I really do dislike, I agree with Jay in terms of the CG, I disliked the neon blood effect. I don't think it ever looked realistic. That was, for me, the one effect in this film that I could never wrap my head around. Whatever they did with that, it just did not look good.
No. KY and glow sticks
is
what
worked. Yeah, it looked like shit. It looked like utter complete shit. I don't care if it was practical or if it was whatever. It was terrible. All that said, I loved the characters in the film. I really, really did get into a lot of the characters in the film and everything like that. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 as well. I'm going to stay right in lockstep with the Super Movie Brothers. I think it's an enjoyable film. I think you'll have a lot of good fun when you see it. I set my reservation to sign at the door. You know, I didn't carry my I hate the Predator design baggage in the door. I think this is a better film even than the original is. I honestly do. I think it's more fun, and I think it's got the kind of action and B-movie cheese that I can enjoy. You know, so yeah, right now, there you go, Justin. All three of us so far, 7 out of 10. So we're punting it over to you for your final thoughts and your rating.
I'm sorry to be so boring here with you, but I'm also giving the film a 7 out of 10 rating. I can't give it an 8 out of 10 because I definitely had a lot of problems with the story, the scripts. There are issues to be had. I'd love to have seen what the original vision was and what the original cut was. I don't know if it was more mean-spirited, if it was less fun. Who knows? But for me, 7 out of 10 is I liked it. It was good, and it had quite a few issues, but I was able to get over those issues. And for me, like, this is the kind of movie that we don't get in theaters. Alien Covenant is a perfect example. Ridley Scott, get that guy back in the director's chair. Let's have him remake his own movie. And it didn't work. It didn't have any of the same suspense. It wasn't scary. It wasn't bloody enough, and it was a mess. It was a piece of shit, and I hated it.
I was so worried where you were going with that. I thought you were saying you were going to love Alien
Covenant.
I
was the same way. I was terrified.
Got back again.
That was one of the biggest disappointments of the last 5 years for me.
That is the only F I've given in years. Was Alien
Shane Black comes in. He gets Fred Decker, who has written and directed two of my favorite movies of all time, being The Monster Squad and Night of the Creeps, and said, you know what, let's take this and make it a throwback, but not make it a throwback like Stranger Things is a throwback. Not make it a throwback like it's a throwback. Let's make this a real throwback and, like, not give a fuck. Let's make the action politically incorrect. Let's have blood splattering everywhere. Let's have the dialogue being fuck every other word. The characters are likable, but you also see children and danger and people smoking cigarettes right in their face and blowing smoke in their face. I love that about this movie, especially in the political climate that we're in right now. We need people being a little politically incorrect. So 7 out of 10 for me. Again, right now is the trivia question. You have to come into the Hopester's dumpster to answer this question for a chance to win the Predator prize pack. Again, that is the tin Predator popcorn bucket, the Predator koozies, and the 4K Ultra HD digital code for Predator, Predator 2, and Predators. How much weight did Arnold Schwarzenegger lose before filming the original Predator in order to look more lean but yet muscular for the role? He was much more muscular before filming. How much weight, the exact amount of pounds, did Arnold Schwarzenegger lose before filming to shoot John McTiernan's Predator?
Dave, Jay,
Yeah.
It's been a long time. It's been a while since we've had you two on the show, but I think in terms of guests, and I think in terms of people that I love talking to film about, I think you guys have to rank right up there at the top. You're always insightful, and you're always a lot of fun, and you not only bring the love of film, you also bring the love of craft beer with you. So I want to thank you for stopping by the show tonight and talking all things Predator. Why don't you please let our audience know? They already know. They know. But if they don't, that doesn't make any sense. If let our audience know where they can find the Super Movie Brothers.
Well, I mean, obviously you can find us at Super Movie Bros on Twitter. You can also find us on Podbean, on iTunes, and anywhere that you check out podcasts. Just type in Super Movie Bros. You want to check out our beer reviews. If that's what you're interested, head over to Instagram and look up Super Movie Bros Beer, because that is where we put all of our beer reviews now, because Untappd just was not working out. So, yeah, there's a lot of places to find us. If you want to check out our latest episode, it's episode 113, where me and Jay discuss how Michael Keaton should return to the role of Batman. And
I should have been on that shit. Come on, man. Come on.
And then you want to check out our most downloaded episode. It is our top five movie weapons of all time. That was episode 111. So check out those two episodes. If you like us, definitely subscribe. Check out more, because me and Jay have a ton of fun, just like the Epic Film Guys. Guys, thank you so much for having us. We had a fucking blast talking about this film. We had a blast watching this film together, and I hope that other people give this the due deserts that it deserves.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot thank you enough for listening, for supporting the show. You guys are absolutely amazing. Please head down to the show notes, check those links, and if you're not already subscribed to the Super Movie Brothers, please subscribe. They're amazing, and I mean, like I said, Dave and I are going to be left doing our own show once, you know, Jay and Justin ride off to Hollywood glory.
That's right.
It will happen.
Super epic film, guys.
I have a strong feeling, Jay, that Michael B. Jordan will remember me and say, oh, you and that really tall, handsome gentleman with a nice suit, you two were very important to the shoot. You guys have to come to the premiere. You guys are going to hang out with Sly. You can massage
his lats while Jay blows him.
It's fine with me. I mean, I'm sure he'll be feeling Jay's nice hair, because Jay always has nice hair, though.
My God in heaven. So, gentlemen, once again, we love you guys. Thank you very, very much.
Yeah,
let's not wait
us
so long before we do the next crossover. It really, really has to happen as soon as we can get it together. Again, we want to thank Dave and Jay, the Super Movie Brothers, for being here to talk all things Shane Black's Predator. Nice to see sevens all the way across the board. I really, really was expecting Justin to go a lot higher. I was expecting me walking into that theater to go a lot lower. And even coming out of the theater immediately, it took a little bit of time to reflect on a few of the different components of that film to land on my final rating. But I think overall,
Nick,
really,
seven
really
is good
wonderful.
For me. It's good for me. It was a great, enjoyable time at the theater. I can't tell you enough.
You're fired.
Ladies and gentlemen,
get out.
I'm not fired.
I mean,
you can't fire me.
It was just like getting an unenthusiastic hand job from the prom queen, you know? Like, I had a good time.
Hey, you. None of yous wants a hand job from me. I'll stick my hand down your pants, and I'll put fucking brass knuckles on that shit, and you'll be bleeding for weeks. None of y'all will know what hit you. I went and saw this movie. I saw a girl suck at some guy's dick, so I walked over. I said, hey, can I get some of that? And then she got upset, and then I pulled the hand. The guy tried to punch me. He ended up sucking my dick.
The homester, apparently, he's been gone for months, just decided to come in and crash the show.
Back. This is my show. Don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be back for the fall and winter. Ho, 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 Christmas homester. I'll be back for that shit Halloween.
So happy that we awakened
homester
him.
Halloween.
So happy.
Yeah, thanks,
this
Dave.
This is my season.
You know, he just
thanks
tends to
lot,
turn
Dave.
Up like the Predator.
How
that
dare
just
you.
Made my deck sweat.
But ladies and gentlemen, we love you. Thank you so, so much for listening to the show, for all of your amazing support. We've got so much amazing content to cram in between basically September through November. Justin and I were going over our recording schedule and like all the stuff we need to record earlier tonight, and it's going to be a daunting task. So prepare your ears for an EFG onslaught, I think, audio wise, because you better be prepared. But ladies and gentlemen, for myself, for Justin, for the god of podcasting,
you're not my dad.
We're not, but we might as well be. And again, a huge thank you to our guests Dave and Jay, the Super Movie Brothers.
Thank you.
Please check them out down in the show notes. Click those links, baby. You will find them. Thank you all very, very, very much for listening, and we will see you at the movies.